welcome to the latest episode of Talking Talky. It's Stephen Dixon in the hot seat, which means I don't remember the number. And with me tonight is the other SD of Talking Talky, Mr. Sam Drewiff. How are we doing, Sam?
I'm well. I've just realised we've both got the same initials. I really am pleased that neither of our middle name is Thomas.
How do you know mine isn't? That's the question.
Because with a giggle like that, you'd be set up for a life of hell.
The podcast is starting strong today, and we'll start on the theme of initials then. Do you sometimes get given super dry stuff because it's got your initials on it, or is that just me?
No, but when I was in school, Superdry was the brand to have. So I used to get the ones that had the SD on because I just thought I was the nuts. I thought it was the absolute shit.
Okay, it's a strong... And if fans of the podcast want to dress like you now, where do you go shopping now, Sam?
I do a lot of vintage. You know, I'm not into this fast fashion thing anymore. I'll be honest, I've hit an age and a stage in life where I see the benefit of M&S.
And I think that's a good point. Like, I think that shows our interest, our collective interest in the FA Trophy. unless we're all in. But I'll now segue us back to the football. Talky United, a win against league leaders Yeovil Town, who were on a 14-match winning streak, were they? Or unbeaten streak? Or
yeah, something? 14, I think it was. 14 wins in a row.
But we've dumped them out of the FA Trophy, so get me back on that train. A 2-1 victory to the Yellows. I suppose we'll just start with your reaction to that result. Were you happy to go through in the FA Trophy, or is it a much of a muchness for you?
Well, you know, like you say, 14 games winning run, we hit them where it hurt in the trophy. I mean, look, I wasn't asked about the trophy. Well, if we were in their position, I'd be thinking, yeah, let's do it. You know, we're going to win the league. Why not have a trip to Wembley as well? But the thing is, we're not. I think we'll do well to get playoffs at the moment, the way it's going and the way we're playing, or the way we have been. So I see it as a bit of a distraction. But to caveat that, to win when your confidence is low, obviously, is good. And I think, regardless of a bit of a change, the Yeovil team, just to get end their winning streak, for the players that we've got, we'll probably just give them that little bit of a boost that, you know, they can beat teams that... This sounds ridiculous to say, as talking about the conference stuff, but we can beat the player, you know, the other teams at this level.
No, but
including
you're right.
The league leaders.
Well, yeah, and you're right. I think particularly this team, and I felt it for long spells last season, that we've got... They're all right players here, but I think so many of them are almost like Jamie Reid when he had no confidence, you know.
Yeah.
I think so many of them are much better players when we're 2-0 up, which I know that it's a weird thing to say, but when, you know, winning is a habit at least, and I think you're right. It was a much changed Yeovil team, but it wasn't particularly a full strength United team, I wouldn't say.
No, and it's still a good Yeovil team. And you say about the team from last season, I agree. Last season, we weren't the worst team in the league by any stretch, but we were the worst at seeing games through.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And I think that's the problem we've got at the moment. We've just got a team that don't have any confidence.
Yeah. And when it started badly this season, it has been atrocious. Like, okay, I know we turned it around in a couple of games with some late goals, but I mean, some of the first half performances at Playmore in particular, I think we've just looked so brittle. And
it's been poor. The standard football, bar a couple of games, has been shocking for a club that should be playing teams off the park. Even if not winning by a cricket score, that's fine. I can live with that. But what I want to see is us playing well. And I think that was the pleasing thing about Saturday. I'm going to hold my hands up. I didn't go. It's close to Christmas. And, I've got a season ticket, so I don't particularly want to pay, go to another. I don't want to go to the games I paid for. So I'm not paid to go to another game.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, viewers, if this was a video podcast, you'd be thinking, Sam, your flat's looking clean. It is, viewers, listeners, because I spent all day Saturday doing it whilst not listening to football. But from reading the report and watching the highlights and speaking to people who went, sounded like it was just a better performance. And I think one of the big things, one of the big influences on that is Dolan, who's coming from Fleetwood. Now, yes, you can have a dig at Pete Johnson all you like for not doing the scouting, but I think we have to look at why we're not being given, like why we don't have the funds to get a player. You know, Pete Johnson isn't an idiot. He'll know that there are players available. And I'm sure he said to get, you know, his brother, Gary, and the ownership that there are players here that we need. I think they're probably just not getting the money for them. So to go to Pete Johnson, yeah, it's a bit of a jokey thing. Like, oh, he's asked for his son again. But there are worse clubs to have links to. I mean, we, you know, say that. We shouldn't be in a position where we're begging Fleetwood for players. That's just a sign of the times.
Yeah.
But he's come in. Seems like he's got a little bit of a point to prove. You know, if you're a Fleetwood League One or League Two?
I think they're League One.
So if you're at a club like that in League One and you're going back to the Conference South, you're going to think, oh, God, I thought I'd got away from this level of football.
Yeah.
You're going to really want to make a point. And he seems to be doing that. And what I like him is he's got a little bit of a nasty streak to him,
yes,
which I don't think enough of our players have.
Yeah. I mean, even someone like McGavin, who would probably call himself a bit of a ball player. Like, I just want a bit of needle. And I think he's got the needle, but he can also play, which is a bloody important bit in our
midfield. Oh, God, yeah.
But that I mean, because that De Silva goal, you know, 90 seconds in or whatever it was, that was made by Dolan. I genuinely think the bit of play he did down that left channel was a bit of play that no one else in the team could do. He kind of cut inside, was comfortable enough on the ball to kind of move away from his marker and then switch the play out to the right. I mean, the fact that De Silva managed to take three consecutive good touches is another thing. But the bit of play from Dolan, I genuinely think that wasn't something anyone else in our team would do. A, have the confidence to do, and B, have the ability to do. That's a goal from, you know, just doing that. And obviously he got on the score sheet himself in the second half as well, which obviously turned out to be the winning goal.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like you say, doing what he does, you almost feel like he hasn't got that fear factor. He's not got that sort of, like, I don't sound horrible, that loser mentality that all of our squads or a lot of our squads seem to have. And he's just a bit like, fuck it, I'm going to play. I'm just going to do it. And then you've got someone like Dylan De Silva who, no, look, I've been very critical of De Silva, and I don't think that's unfair, because I do think for someone so hyped up by a lot of fans, I don't see any consistency in what he does. But he's certainly got some ability. So for him to get a goal, you think at least we've got a wide player who's just scored. Because let's be honest, our other two starting wide players, I'm not going to go into the debate again because I do it all the time. They've both been pretty poor. So there's certainly a place up for grabs for De Silva, and he's made no... He's not damaged his case by getting a goal.
No, I agree with that. I think we all know... it's not going to be much of a podcast because I agree with you on this, but De Silva, I've also not taken to in the way perhaps a lot of the pop side has. But the one thing in his favour is that I think our team is lacking in genuine pace. He has got genuine pace. And if you can kind of push all the tools together, you might end up with a player there. I suppose Johnson will be hoping when he signed him on that he kind of make him into something like Kalala, you know, just kind of pull some of those pieces together, at least for a period, to make a bit of a player. De Silva getting on the score sheet, I think, like you say, probably hasn't done his chances of earning a start in the next game any harm at all. There was also starts in that side with Crowe coming in, McGavin came in, as well as Dolan. But Hall, Collins, Stobbs and Archer were out. I think Archer was actually cup tied for that one. Some rare appearances for Crowe again, who I think we've probably chatted about enough on this podcast. He's got some ability on the ball, but he is what he is, isn't he? But I think seeing out that game, because obviously Yeovil got that goal right towards the end. But I think it's almost important to have that little bit of creakiness at the end and showing that you can actually get through with something at the end of it for this team.
Yeah, and that, because that's the thing, isn't it? It would have been very Torquay to concede another late goal there, and all of a sudden, I don't know how this cup works. I don't think there are replays. I think there might even be replays, but you know, sort of thing you could do without the amount of games we've got coming up. You know, they've just rearranged Taunton today, so the 19th of December. We must have a Saturday, Tuesday, all the way up till Christmas, and then obviously the Christmas. I don't know what the cliche phrase is for that. Is the Christmas schedule or Christmas fixture pile up for the festive football season?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's games coming up left, right, and centre. So to see that out, you know, I've been very critical of the team this year, and not unfairly so. But when I am critical, I think it's fair to give praise. And I think, you know, regardless of the competition and the strength of the 11 we're playing, I think it's pretty good just to, you know, kudos to them for winning and seeing it out like they did.
Do you think knocking Yeovil out of the FA Trophy like that has it improved Yeovil's chances of just sauntering away to the title, or was that already just a done deal as far as you're concerned?
That was a done deal. That was a done deal as soon as...
I think so too.
As soon as we didn't beat Dover away on the first day and then lost 3-0 to Worthing, even though Yeovil had a bit of a shaky start, you thought, nah, they've signed a lot of proper players there. When it clicks, it clicks. It was a done deal. But what I would say, I don't think Yeovil will be pleased. I remember when we did the Buckle event, they were talking about how they lost an FA Trophy game to Southport in the season we went up, I think it was. Well, it would have been the season we went up. And they got on the coach, and Alex Rowe, chairman, said to Buckle, don't ever do that again. Like, don't ever throw a game or not take it seriously again. Otherwise, you know, you're in trouble. Owners, regardless, I know it's not loads of cash in the grand scheme of things, but I think the club got about $3,500 for that. And it's a pride thing, you know. So I think, you know, the people who are wearing blazers with club badges on, they don't want to see them lose any cup game. Especially, I know Yeovil have got a rivalry with Weymouth, but we are the two big clubs in this league.
Yeah.
So for them to lose any game to us is a pride thing. You know, look at Newell when he played against us in the league. Of course he was going to score his safest bet in football, that. Yeah. But he celebrated, and you could tell that he's like, he wants to get one over us. He wouldn't have come down to this level if he didn't want to still win every week. So, you know, Yeovil wouldn't have come down here thinking we want to lose. So, yeah, I don't think they'll be pleased, but also I don't think it's going to affect the league.
No, I think they're sauntering away with it, really, aren't they? I think it's going to be what it is. I mean, I know people are probably getting fed up with comparisons to when we were last in the Conference South, but they're playing with that kind of swagger, at least in the league. I know we did them in the weekend, but they're playing with the kind of swagger that we did, in a kind of almost like we were talking there about confidence in the. Thinking you're too good for this level can be a positive, if you know what I mean. If you think you're too good and you just go out and play your football, I think you can see that week to week at Yeovil is that's what they're doing. Okay, we got one over them in the trophy, a bit of a change side from them. But I think they're playing with that swagger that we were when we were here, and we just kind of started bulldozing teams. And I think barring a catastrophic collapse, they're away. So
or even if we went on a really good run.
Yeah.
It's like, I know you can't really compare it, but I mean, I'm trying to think of the Premier League, like Man United are probably about 15 points off Man City. Man United could win every game between now and the end of the season. Still, I mean, the title, because Man City aren't going to lose that many points, or whoever's top and in that position. It's, you know, Yeovil are now already champions elect. Yeah. And that is down to two things. Our inability to play and Yeovil's ability to build a team. You know, the league game, I think it was probably the last game I saw it play more. Game one. But, I mean, none of them are memorable this season. But that game, Yeovil, I remember they scored the second and they celebrated right in front of where I stood. And their right back came over and he just shouted to them, no, more, back, more. And it's that I don't know what the word is, just the drive and that relentlessness to think, no, we want more. We're not satisfied with this. We want more.
Yeah.
And we haven't got that at all. We just don't. Moxie to a degree, Asa Hall to a degree. I'm never, ever going to go for those two because I love them both, especially Asa.
Yeah.
But we just don't have players like that. We don't have that mentality.
Well, what a depressing way to talk about a 2-1 win against Schoebel. We've managed it. Through to the next round. We've drawn, I think I'm right in saying, Frome?
Yeah, Frome away, I think.
Frome away. Looking forward to that one. Big game. What even league do they play in? This a well-researched podcast would have looked that up already, wouldn't they?
It would, yeah. I've got a feeling that Jake Andrews might have been playing a bit of football there at one stage.
What, in his saunter down the leagues?
Yeah. Jake, I know you've listened to some of these before. You've been sent clips. I'm not trying to have a dig. We're past that. Let's be friends, okay?
If he's still listening now, then fair play to the lad. because no one else is. So drawn Frome in the next round. I think you've said it before about the FA Trophy. In general, I don't give a shit until I'm at the semi-final, but I don't think we're going to be getting there this season.
No, and it's funny, with Frome, if we were a good conference side or, you know, God forbid, a league side, and we had Frome in a cup, you'd be thinking, oh, that'd be great. Little fun day out, local, couple of hours on the train, you know, I could make a proper laugh with this. But... like, no, you just think we're just a bit of a league game. It's almost like a scout for AFC Torquay. You know?
You'd be thinking, yeah, we could get Cazella a few minutes at the end of this one.
Best striker at the club.
a good win against Yeovil in the FA Trophy, but the thoughts soon turn back to the National League South table, and I have to admit, as a Torquay fan, and I think many have probably done this, I've avoided looking at the National League South table because I'm finding it so kind of depressing. But
well, it's funny, I've got it up in front of us, actually, in front of me as we're recording. I didn't actually realize that there's, because we were obviously meant to be playing tonight, meant to be playing away at Taunton. There are games going on, and what bodes well for us, Dartford are 2-0 down at the moment.
Wow, now it's like a live podcast. Who would have thought that?
They're losing to Braintree. And Braintree, well, I'd like to say they're not pulling up trees this season because even we beat them, but they're in the playoffs as it stands.
When you say pulling up trees, was that an intentional pun or not? Because it's Braintree? It wasn't intentional. I'm just checking.
I try so hard. We're never getting a subscription to this, are we? We're never monetizing this shit.
There's no need.
But they're losing to Braintree. Dartford are an odd one because every few years they seem to be the club that whenever there are no big clubs in this league, basically us or a Yeovil or a Maidstone, whenever they always seem to be right up there, but they never actually go up.
Yeah,
but yeah, they have a very mixed run. Like if you look back to their last few, that they lose, win, lose, win, lose, draw, win, lose, win, win. Like they've really got a mixed bag of results. Seem pretty.
Yeah, but I mean, to be honest, they're in the mix with us, aren't they? And that they're in that kind of hodge of teams in the middle of the table, who are going okay. Yeovil have got the title, playoffs, let's go. And I mean, to be honest, like two-thirds of the league at least are saying that, you know, let's get the playoffs and see where we go. I think Dartford, I mean, we're at Dartford. I think they'll be wanting 3 points out of us, as a lot of people do. The thing that's surprising about the league table is, I didn't really realise it, to be honest, again, because I'm finding it so depressing looking at it, is that we've only drawn one game, and it's just feast or famine with us, isn't it?
Yeah. And what's amazing is considering how poorly we've played for a lot of the season, we're ninth. Whenever I look at the table, I half expect this to be right kind of lower mid-table. But we are, you know, one of the, we're always, I mean, it sounds stupid to say it's in the Conference South. We should be top or second.
Yep.
But we are only always a win off the playoffs. And considering we've got two on the bounce, you'd hope that there's a bit of confidence in the squad. The new signings seem to be making a positive impact, which isn't something that can be said frequently over the last year or even the last couple of years.
Yep.
And, you know, Dartford plastic pitch, I'm not sure how much that really makes a difference. You know, it's not a novelty thing now. They're all used to it. They train on a plastic pitch. So I'm not sure that's ever...
I'm not buying that
an
anymore.
Actual... No, it's not a factor. Goal. Worthing have just gone 3-0 up against Farnborough.
This is a live podcast.
This is fantastic. We were live streaming this with Jeff Stelling. We're coming for you.
Do you think with these games then, do you think with Johnson, like, is he ever going to go more conservative? Like, I realise our plan of attack basically all season has been lump it to Jarvis and hope for the best. Obviously, that option's kind of disintegrated a little bit with Jarvis being out. But Johnson will want to go there for 3 points, won't he? At this stage in the season, he's not going to be looking at these games and going, actually, a point at Dartford would be quite good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially because, with the greatest respect, he's kind of playing for his job, you know, and any kind of credibility he's got left. So I think for me, I think it's, even if your game plan is keep it at 0-0, by 75 minutes, they'll tire. We'll bring on a couple of fresh pair of legs just to get that extra yard and then go for the win there. Because that seems to be how we've won a fair few games this season at Plainmoor. And I know at the start of the season, it was that, like, you know, win your home games, draw your away, you'll go up. But now it's that, like, actually, to get any kind of chance of closing that gap, you've just got to win every game. And I say over the home and dry, I still think they are. But if there's ever a period in football where things can happen, it's in that kind of December to February period where games get called off, there are games in hand, there are, you know, lots of fixture congestion. So that's, you know, kind of coming into that spell now, you know, off the back of two wins, one in the league, one in the cup, it's a perfect chance to capitalize. I mean, they're down to 10 men tonight. Paul Rooney, who once upon a time was unknown to us, I think from Millwall, from memory.
Curry levels of knowledge.
Well, you know. War number 17, I believe. But, you know, he's been sent off, so that's a little bit of a headache for them. Interestingly, for Braintree, the scorer with both goals for them is Mr. Blair.
What, your hero, Tony?
No. Young lad called Aaron. Don't know if they're related, but you know, I'm sure he's got good ideas.
I don't know how to segue that onto the next topic. So I think you're right. We want to touch on fixture congestion, because I think throughout the season we haven't seen enough of us showing that we're a full-time side against part-time sides. And I think over the next few weeks, as you already touched on, we've got Dartford on Saturday, but then we've got Eastbourne midweek, and then I think Weymouth in midweek, and then you've got the Christmas fixtures. I think, like you say, if not for catching Yeovil, who are obviously also a full-time side, this is at least a stretch of fixtures where you need to be showing why we're a full-time side, why you're full-time footballers, and actually properly pressing teams. And I think that almost that change from just lumping it to Jarvis and hoping for the best, which again, I know lumping it to Newball did all right for us at the end of last season, but we've got to, hopefully playing a different, more intense style might actually work in our favour a little bit in terms of that fitness level into Christmas. Because if we can get a run together, get a bit of confidence in the legs, and you know, have teams like, I don't know, Hemel Hempstead arriving at Plainmoor thinking, ah, bugger, Torquay have been training well and they've got a few results, then you know, it just gives you that little bit of a nudge.
You're right. I think the thing that concerns me is obviously at this level, I'm fairly sure there is no kind of transfer, and you just bring in players whenever. I think what concerns me is if it gets a little bit tight, Yeovil have got an owner that, yeah, I think it's a bit, you know, I think a few sandwiches short and all that, but if he wants them to go up, he'll just say to Mark Robbins, Mark Cooper.
Yeah, that's one.
You know, here's is a grand a week. Go and get a striker to take us up, or go and get us something to take us up.
Yeah, no. To be honest, in that whole rant, I wasn't even thinking at that point about chasing down Yeovil. It's just more about solidifying our spot at the right end of the table, because I don't think
that's the thing. And I'll tell you what, I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but if we finish in the playoffs, at the moment we have not got the players who have got playoff mentality. We'd have to really go on a run for that to happen. If we squeeze into the playoffs, I just don't think our players have got that big game mentality to them at all. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling very defeated about the whole thing.
The whole club. We will just touch on Eastbourne as well, because that's obviously the Tuesday night game. That's away at Eastbourne in the National League South, obviously. Eastbourne in the table, he says, towards the lower end, I suppose, 19 points on the table at the time of speaking, although I'm not sure if they're playing tonight, which I'm sure Drew can inform me as part of our live scores update.
Who, sorry?
Eastbourne, who are playing on Tuesday. Are they playing tonight?
This is
good podcasting. This is terrific.
No, they're not.
No, okay. So yeah, they're near the wrong end of the table. So again, if you're going to try and target some away games,
they're 1-0. They are playing. I found them. They're drawing to Dover. They must be shit. Maybe we drew to Dover, but you know.
But if you're going to target some away games to win, it'd be against the likes of Eastbourne. From the two games together, Dartford away, Eastbourne away. How many points are you accepting from Gary Johnson?
Six. We've got to start winning games. For me, there's no other way about it. Like I say, if we were on a really good run, you'd think, you know what, take four, you'd be happy with that. But we're not on a big run. It's that, like, actually, you need to keep going. Just to lighten the mood a little bit, Chippenham have just equalised in the 90th minute against away at Yeovil. So, you know, it's 1-1 there.
The run is on, my friends. Talk United are back.
We are only now 12 points off them. Woo!
Hopefully, when we get 2 points out of Dartford and Eastbourne, we'll be right back in the mix. Yeah.
let's get the gap down to single figures, shall we?
Yeah, so I have to say, I think I agree with you. I think it's 6 points or bust. I think we've both been on the same kind of journey in terms of backing Johnson versus how it's actually the reality of how it's going in the league. And we are in a position, I think, where we've got to put a run together. And it needs to start now, really. I think with the way the ownership is, he might get away with not getting everything out of the Dartford game, but just the way it's going, he's going to have to start getting some wins and at least a run together at some point, because it can be pretty turgid at Plainmoor when it's not going right.
Yeah, no, and it has been getting like that, you know, and people are voicing their opinions, and as long as it's all done peacefully and legally and everything, people, I've always been in the opinion, if you pay to go and watch it, now I hear some really daft football opinions. I hear a lot of them on group chats, on Twitter, and in the ground.
How much of them on this podcast?
Right here, right now.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's just all good stuff. But, you know, if you pay your money and you go to the games, you are welcome to think and say whatever you want, regardless if it's right or wrong. You know, I think, but it is gonna get, and like I said, two wins is starting to steady the ship a bit, but they've got to build on that because it won't be long until it does get really toxic. So, yeah, they've really got to do something over the next two games. Like I say, because you're going into that time of the year where there are a lot of games back to back, and if you're not on the right run, I think you could really fall behind.
Well, and you're right, yeah. You're at that time of season where you'd, if you're going to pull the trigger, you'd do it immediately and try and get someone else in very quickly so they can get a run at some fixtures, or you know you're toast, or you wait more than a month to appoint a manager like Clark did the first time he sacked Nico, or you know, hopefully we start picking up some points starting at Dartford in the weekend. We'll close it off with a score prediction for the weekend, please, Drew. If Dartford versus Torquay United,
I'm gonna go for 1-1.
1-1. You said he needs 6 points from the two games, and you're starting it off with a 1-1.
Yeah, we need 6 points. Do I think we'll do it? No.
No. Okay. I'll be more optimistic. I'll go for a 4-1 Torquay United. There you go. We're never keeping a clean sheet. We're not doing that anytime. Although we did get one at Hampden Hall's Louisville, but
can I add one bit of any other business that I've just seen that has made me laugh a little bit?
Yeah.
We're playing Frome Town, who to qualify to this round, beat, and I quote, the best team to ever play at Playmore, Worthing. So, you know, we should be afraid of that one.
Yeah, I think we should. So that's a good, what a top note to end the podcast on. And that's, is that all you're on? Any other business, Sam?
That's all from me, yeah.
That's all from me as well. So thank you for listening to Talking Torquay. You can follow us on all the social medias. Thank you to Sam Drewith.
Thank you.
And thank you from me, Stephen Dixon. Cheers.